The singers make much of kings who die valiantly in battle, but your life is worth more than a song.
Welcome to Two Champs and a Chump, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by myself, Will Lentz, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Currently regularly hosted by myself, Brett, and Daryl Lloyd. Thanks go out to George R.R. Martin for the world we're all fans of, FFG for this amazing game, CardGameDB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward for the Creative Commons license music that you hear in this episode. This is Season 4.
That's right, bitch. It's worth a block rockin' beat.
Yeah, a fat beat. You should lay those on us again, Daryl.
Yes, Daryl. Daryl, yes.
Yeah, Daryl, our master musician. Man, I couldn't believe how much people freaking loved the intro to last week's episode. Okay, maybe I can. It was hilarious.
It was interesting.
Good times were had by all.
The mouth trumpet. It's an instrument.
Mouth trumpet. It's an instrument. That sounds like a really great t-shirt slogan.
It is. How do you
that
think the...
or a subtitle for a porn?
Yeah.
Well, seriously, though, how do you think the theme song for Sanford and Son was created? Think about it.
That was really good.
I know. I'm telling you. His name was Bobby Tolbert, a legendary mouth trumpeteer.
I want you to be... I'm torn. Part of me wants you to be full of shit.
Google it.
But part of
Google
me really it. Wants you to be all about mouth trumpeters.
Yeah, hey. Actually, he's published, Kyle. Mouth Trumpeters Weekly, August 8th issue in 2009.
See?
Daryl, who would have thought?
I lettered in the mouth trumpet, but I definitely steered clear of the rusty trombone.
So, listeners, welcome back to Mouth Trumpeters Anonymous, your bi-weekly podcast of all things musically mouthful.
Musically mouthful.
Yes. That or Two Champs and a Chump, your weekly Game of Thrones podcast with
yes.
myself, Kenan, also sometimes called Will, and my co-hosts.
Daryl.
Well,
I should just change my board's name to just Daryl.
You have a board's name?
Yeah.
Well, that's something. Oh, and I'm back this week, and I am still Kyle.
And
I still don't have a board name.
And you're still kind of ill. And I saw you post as the panda that rides, I thought.
Me too.
I do. I think I've got like 4 posts now on CardGameDB. I'm up 2.
So, hey, I mean, you're really moving up in the world right there.
I did. I posted an idea and then was quoted and called an idiot and extensively.
Yeah.
Like, thoroughly and extensively.
What?
So I was like, well, I'm done with that.
Oh, really? I just thought people were saying you cussed a lot.
No, my idea about cold hands. They're like, this is just as bad as TLV, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, never mind, I'm an idiot. My bad. I'll go back to lurking.
Well, you know, you take the bad with the less bad. And
yes.
Sometimes that's all you can hope for online.
I mean, any time you get... You know, a group of players in a room where, I don't know, in a forum where you can really speak your mind. Yeah, you're going to have some people that just don't agree with you. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
I would hate it if I lived in a world where everyone agreed with me. Like, I could not stand that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I mean, our discussions on the game would be awfully boring if we did all agree.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we all played this game like Daryl?
Oh, my
it
God.
It would be a wondrous place.
I tell you what, it'd be a whole hell of a lot more fun.
It really would.
Oh, man.
I will never forget the time you brought a Targ Burn melee deck with no burn in it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, you know what it did run, though? It ran, shit, that one something Warlock.
Blue Lift Warlock?
No, I do love the
Blue Lift Warlock.
It's the one that's immune to character abilities.
Oh, Warlock Servitors.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw that card? I played that card in Melee. And you would think that maybe the idea was to, like, go against, like, Castellans or, like, Neil or something like that. But this was before Landing Neil was a thing in Melee.
Yeah. I have no idea why you were doing that.
But now, that card might be on the up and up. You heard it here first.
Yeah. I just remember someone turning to you and goes, Daryl, what the hell does your deck do? And you go, it's a burn deck. And then you can't burn anything.
No. It's way worse than that. It's Josh Staton.
That's right.
And he's like, oh, dude, Daryl, sweet, man. You know, you gonna help me out here? Give me a little burn. And then I was looking at my cards like, no, I don't have any of that. He's like, oh, okay, well, that's cool, man. You gonna ambush in some guys? No, don't really have any of that. And he stops, and this is in the middle of the game. He stops and he looks at me and he said, I'm a little confused as to what your deck does.
Did you say, so am I, Josh? So am I.
Yeah.
I believe you validated it and said.
I got second at that table.
Yeah, you did, because I think Ben King made Greg at that, if I remember right.
No, it was me, Staten, Sandman, and Greg at that table. And Sandman, I was like, oh, dude, I'm going to get second. Just challenge me. I'll do everything unopposed. And Sandman looks at Greg to, like, basically ask if it was okay.
I remember
Greg's like,
that.
Just do it. Yeah. Oh, boy.
So, this week, guys, I think we've got a little bit of news. New article went up on the Fantasy Flight Games website. And this one's a little different than they've done for Game of Thrones. It appears to be an actual deck building article. Well, sort of building. A deck list article, I suppose you could say. Which I thought was kind of cool. They'd been doing some of that kind of thing for, like, Lord of the Rings with their second breakfast articles and all. So it was good to see that for Thrones. I was really surprised that I hadn't been seeing that sort of thing before.
Yeah, they used to do it I remember they came in the deluxe boxes. I remember specifically the Targ one sent you a deck, you know, around the dragons and around the Warcrest stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of a way to use the new cards.
Each of those did. I know that for a fact. Because if you go back and look at the Lions of the Rock box, you'll realize that those decks were done by me.
Oh, that's why they're bad, and I never played with them.
Yes.
Now it makes sense.
Exactly.
I was like, why is this so clunky and incohesive?
Listeners, if you ever tried to play one of those decks and it did not work for you, you can blame that on me. I will blame it then on the fact that we were working with a limited card pool, because the idea is, you know, what can someone build with just this box and the core set? You know, they're just getting started, so. There's only so much you can do with that, man.
I know, but no, I liked those, and I thought they were a nice idea, and so to see something kind of akin to that, I liked it. It was nice.
Yeah, and again, you take, in this article, you take something that's limited and not that great and try to build a deck around it. There's a quote here from Nate, so I assume the general idea is from Nate, but I don't know for sure. That something being the reprinted and now unbanned and errated Jack and Hagar, which I still think is kind of cool. You know, and it's kind of reasonable to run him in a agendaless brotherhood deck as a way to get stuff off your house card.
Yeah.
I think there's stuff there. I understand the concern about a 5-cost ally. I get that. I think their house is that, you know, 5 gold out of Lannister is not the end of the world, and kind of they talk about in the article, yeah, you're giving up power, but you're probably netting it back, and there are definitely some things here.
Okay.
I'm skeptical.
I think the Jockin is a really cool character in the books. I think that this card is not near the power of any other 5-cost card in the game. Not even close.
I don't know. They talk about some slick stuff you can throw on him. Melee, deadly.
And those are all very good keywords.
Yeah. I mean, it is a nice point. You've got kind of a threat of activation on him as far as you attack with him, and then they're stuck trying to figure out, you know, what you're going to do to muck up the challenge, and they have to fear that.
Yeah. I mean,
so, I don't know.
I guess that's like a strength boost without costing you a card, possibly.
Maybe yeah.
Maybe some deadly. But man, 5 costs? I mean, ugh. All your reducers work on him. That's true. But I just don't see it, man. I just don't.
I think there's some play for him. You just have to play with him in mind, which is not my style. I don't like decks that kind of key off of one or two dudes, but I definitely think someone this season is going to make some noise with Jackin. I think it's there.
I don't know, but it does at least tempt me to play around with him again some, just to kind of see what happens.
But it's nice that they're making an effort. I mean, a lot of people may not have even been aware of the changes if you're a more casual player. So to bring that to the forefront, along with some options for them.
That's a good point.
I do think it's hilarious that Compel gets, like, barely a paragraph, because they really can't justify this ability being worth an event slot. So they're smart in focusing on Jackin, who at least has some potential.
Well, you know, really, I'm surprised they didn't combine the two of those into one deck and do this as a Lannister deck without the Brotherhood agenda, because they even mentioned Devious Intentions, which combines so beautifully with Beric and the other Brotherhood by letting you use the Infamy to keep power off your house card. So, I don't know. Just interesting.
Wait a second. Jockin works with Schemes of the Scholars, right?
Yes, he does. That's why there's a single copy of him in my Maesters Behind the Throne deck right now.
See? Well, maybe there's hope after all.
You know, he also works without Wit. It's also worth
what? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, dude, I'm all for like making like a sweet deck. Like, that's cool. I mean, it still seems like a cool idea. Like, the deck that they built here, at least I'm looking at the Bloodthirst deck they have on here, like, it looks neat. I don't see a good way to protect your Jockin.
He
you know, that's
thinking.
Always the key, is
he
protecting
calls it thinking
your Jockin.
Against Dissension or Varys? That doesn't
you
work.
Know, I'm just saying what the article says. It mentions he calls it thinking. So, I mean, it stops Arisokar.
Now, to be fair, you could play him again after he gets discarded.
Yep.
Feel free to play another 5-cost ally again. Okay. I mean, that's fine. I would love to be wrong. I hope somebody builds a deck with Jockin Agar and kicks the shit out of me, because I don't know.
Do you really want
to? I like Jockin Agar in the books. I'd love a good excuse to play him. I haven't even read the book. I like him in the TV show.
Wow.
Well, he is pretty cool.
Yeah, he is a cool character. And I think part of the reason maybe why they rewrote this article in the first place is because nobody plays Jockin Agar, and they're like, hey, you know, we think he's pretty cool. Obviously, they made changes to him so that he could be played again, and I'm sure they feel strongly that he is a good character, but you just think, like, if he were 4-cost, I think he would just look 10 times sexier. Just 1 gold difference.
Yeah, I don't think it should make that much of a difference. I think there's some perception there. I mean, he is a 3-strength Tricon Learned Crest. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff here. He's all the houses, like you said. Every reducer I can think of hits it, outside of, like, Ocean Road.
Yeah.
Ocean Man.
So, I dig it. I think you will see a deck with him as a focal point do well at a regional or a major tournament sometime this season. That'll be my prediction.
Or store championship. Don't forget, we've got some of those coming up. And I have not yet decided on a deck for mine. So...
You do that ahead of time?
There's still time. Only by a little bit. I think our listeners would like to hear about a new unique character. Brand new, never before seen in the game again. Yes, that's right, dear listeners. I'm talking about a new teaser card from FFG that they were kind enough to send to us so that we could spoil it for the community at large.
What?
Yeah. Coming out of pack number one of the new cycle. So, I think he's going to make a big impact pretty soon. What do you guys think?
I think this is going to have a lot of meta-wide repercussions. I've always believed that when a card with the archetype he supports is big, Lannister goes down the shitter real fast.
Yeah. Boy, I bet that's got people's heads spinning trying to figure out what archetype that might be. Yeah, not really. There's an obvious answer.
There's an obvious answer. He's excellent. Jeez. I mean, it doesn't really get much better than that.
Should we stop taunting the listeners and actually tell them?
What we should really do is just not post this spoiler for a while, so then they have to listen to the episode to get it.
That's actually why I normally don't post the pictures of the spoiled cards until later that day when the episode goes up, or I think maybe once I did it the next day.
It's just a nice little treat, you know?
Yeah,
nice little surprise to your day.
Post it on Saturday night. So while people are out of the bars, they can pull up their phone and go, holy cow, did you see the new card?
Well, unless they already listened to the episode, in which case then they know.
Yeah,
if we ever tell them. We may not tell them. You know all the listeners are hating this right now.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll give in and let them know. This is a card that I actually really did not think we would ever see. This is Aegon Targaryen. Now, I assume, spoiler alert, by the way, listeners, spoiler alert if you have not read Book 5, Dance with Dragons. I cannot say this enough, spoiler alert if you've not read Book 5, Dance with Dragons.
Huge, huge spoiler.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, if you do, we should probably tell them if they don't want this to be spoiled for them. Well, they're actually going to be fucked either way. Like,
exactly.
On the...
Because it says it on the card, essentially. This is not Aegon the Conqueror, at least not yet. This is Yungryph, who is eventually revealed to be Aegon Targaryen. Now, granted, there's theories back and forth on whether that's really true or not. But for the moment, we know him as Aegon Targaryen. And I really thought, based on what we'd heard before, that they were not going to spoil that kind of thing, because Martin didn't want them to. But here we have it. Aegon.
Oopsies.
He's a Targaryen 2-drop unique. He has 2 strength. He has a military icon and a learned crest, which surprises and confuses me. But he's also a lord and a king. He only has prized 1. He has no attachments. If you control Yungryph, discard Yungryph from play, which there's part of the spoiler right there, guys. And then the real kicker, non-dragon characters without attachments get -1 strength.
Yeah.
More burn.
I'm digging it. This guy does a little bit of everything.
He does. They crammed a lot of stuff on this guy. And making him no attachments is just a nice little cherry on top.
Yeah, like, that's just gravy. If you're in, like, the Targ mirror match, they can't flame kiss him. That's pretty big.
Well, I think, but in the, again, in the
you
in
also
the Targ,
can't, protect yourself from him.
I was gonna. Well, yeah, and in the Targ Mirror match, though, I mean, on their threat turn, he's gone, right? Because that would make him one strength.
Right. Unless you have a way to make him, you know, a dragon, which since he can't have attachments, is going to be difficult to do permanently. But
all the dragons.
Yeah. I mean, there's that. I mean, that was in the Targ deck that Kristen played against me the other day.
Now, there you go.
Yeah. Now, granted, that was a Targ deck I built her, so I knew it was in there. But the instant I saw this Aegon, I was like, oh, sweet. Well, there's a way to turn him into a dragon. Or any of your other characters, actually, if you just need them to be dragons so they aren't affected by it.
Yeah.
Well, I would run multiples so you can, I mean, think about it, you can play them on your threat turn and blink every two strength character off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And still have another copy in hand to play again. So, and the no attachments is nice because you can't, like, protect him from himself, which I think is probably the right way to go there. So you can't have, like, this and a dragon pit and threat out and do stupid things.
Well, I mean, you still could, though, right?
You
would lose him when you do it.
Yeah, it'd be a blink. You wouldn't be able to persistently nuke all three strength characters.
Yeah, but still, I mean, for two gold and giving my opponent one power, I think I would be willing to knock out basically every three strength character on the board.
Totally. Right. Like, that's awesome, but to do it once, it's not like now you go into the next round with this persistent minus two.
Yeah. Now, that is, of
course, you have two copies in your hand, because he's just discarded from threat.
Right.
So.
Right.
Well, and that's if you do want to go whole hog with the actual discard route from threat. If you just want to go the make challenges impossible for the opponent route, then you may just be happy sitting with him and Dragon Pit, and nobody has any strength, and nobody can do anything, you know?
Yeah, persistent minus two is brutal to overcome. It's like Pentashi without the, you know, being able to at least get a power out of it.
Yeah. Pentashi makes it really hard to win challenges, and once you get three of them on the board, which is horrific, it's a real chore to try and win any challenges. And he becomes a near blanket of a similar effect, especially, again, if you're combining him with Dragon Pit, which is still my dream right now. And I don't even like Burn.
He alone would make me want to at least try a Burn deck out.
Yeah.
It's not really my play style, but how do you not give it a shot with another... Every Burn effect, I mean, with the card pool being what it is, just makes those decks exponentially stronger as you can turn more and more of your cards and stop being filler and they all become Burn effects.
Yeah.
It just gets better. Now, I do like that he's been pointing this out to me, that he doesn't hit characters with attachments, which is a theme that Targ kind of strayed away from on the last couple Burn cards you've seen, like Incinerate, hasn't cared. So getting back to that, I think, is nice. And, you know, again, it brings attachments some more value, especially if you start seeing him commonly come up and play.
Right.
So I do like that aspect of him, which I don't think can be understated.
Yeah. Well,
and also, you know, thinking about just the other implications like that, I guess, brings me to the fact that he's a king who's not turned off by other kings, but, of course, with that trait, will shut down some of the other ones. And that's pretty nice without being affected by himself, himself.
It's characters like this that make me almost want to play Hand of the King, but you can't play Targ in Hand of the King. It's just not fair. So,
it does get kind of sick. Man, I haven't played Hand of the King in a while. I think that'd be fun again.
It's because you can't play Targ.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Maybe we'll play a Hand of the King / Civil War tournament sometime.
Oh, that'd be a blast. I'd play
just
that.
Burn everything to the ground.
I would play that.
Or the everything to the ground.
Yeah, he's really good. I think he's a great slot in there. Well, no matter what you're doing. So if this card is any part of a teaser as to what's to come, we've already seen some other cards that FFG has spoiled themselves.
Mm-hmm.
but it's, yeah, man, it's looking pretty sick. Prize is going to be really interesting for speeding up the game, and, you know, it probably will occasionally hit somebody in the face by having one of your prize guys get killed. But I think now more than ever, we're going to see targeted removal become more important. So
definitely. And, I mean, Valor can win you games. If they're not paying attention, they get enough prize stuff out, Valor all the way, win the game.
Maybe it can. I do just want to point out, Aegon's got that weird little learned crest down there, which makes that wit look pretty tempting. I mean, Targ's got a couple nice, cheap learned guys now with him and Missandei. So, I don't know. It still kind of confuses me, at least from a Nidalee standpoint. Are they just trying to say, like, his tutoring from the Septa, whose name I forget now, like, is enough to make him learned? Like, in which case, should we have a learned Sansa? Because Septa Mordain and Sansa were pretty tight.
Yeah. I'd almost say he should be a noble, but then being able to power blood him seems redonkulous.
Yeah, and maybe that's why he doesn't have the noble crest. Though that would certainly fit more Nidalee flavors, I think.
Maybe a war crest? I mean, he is supposedly going off to, you know, fight some dudes.
Yeah, we haven't seen him do it yet, but he's leading, what, the two largest mercenary companies now?
Yeah, he has got the Golden Company and the Second Sons.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't quote me on that. I'm sure someone's going to comment and be like, Kyle's an idiot, but...
No,
I think that's what it is.
I'm pretty sure you're right. And the art, by the way, on a different tack, looks pretty sick.
So, yeah, that Aegon Targaryen, he's good.
Yep.
Very good.
He sure is.
And prized one is not bad. I think that's balanced. I think that's a good place for him to be. Especially, like I said, on your threat turn, he would get rid of, unless there's some kind of pump you magically have, like, he's going to knock himself out and some other stuff.
Yeah.
So I think prized one is a good place for him, for an especially vulnerable character.
Yeah, you've just got to expect to lose him there. And maybe that's what does keep him so balanced, is that he's going to be gone that turn anyways. And you would have to replay him. Because, I mean, that minus one on its own is decent, but it's really that threat from the north turn. I mean, obviously you're going to see him get played with a dragon pit and things like that. And who knows what else this set's going to have in it. I mean, it could have some great things to complement him. Or maybe we'll just see more utility out of this next set. Just more characters that do some added oomph in decks that are already good. So, and I mean, maybe that's the idea.
Burn cards usually come few and far between with good reason. So hopefully, you know, this is kind of the big... I have to imagine this is the biggest splash for Burn we'll see. But I think it's enough.
Man, I hope it is. Yeah, jeez.
But two, I mean, it's essentially a 2-for-1 monocon, but good traits, good crest. No attachments, like I said, is a pro and a con with him. But so I think where he's at is really balanced and very strong, but there's nothing that throws up a red flag for me, and it causes excitement. This is exactly what you want to see in a card.
I think there was something else I wanted to kind of hit on, and that was the Stalic stats that were posted over to CardGameDB by, and you know, I meant to ask exactly how he pronounces this. Is it Tom, like Didiot, like idiot, or Tom Didio, like some sort of strange French thing, or Tom D idiot? I don't know. There's some different options there.
I've always enjoyed the mystery of it.
Yeah, I know, right? But he gave us some nice breakdowns here. And I was going to take a look at some more of the numbers and, you know, the percentage of houses to make the cut and whatnot. But we got beaten to the punch by... well, largely by W.W. Drakey, who did a lot of the hard work, but some other folks like Scantrell also posted a few different numbers to look at, take a look at things. So then my next thought was to kind of compare what we're seeing change from the last couple big tourneys up through Stalik, so like Gen Con Worlds and Stalik. But then I ran into another problem when I went to work on that this week before the podcast and realized, oh yeah, because the stats we had from FFG were, well, the only stats we had were from FFG for those two events, Gen Con and Worlds. We don't have complete stats, like who made the cut exactly, and, you know, some of the different things, agendas and restrictions and stuff, to really get a complete picture to compare all the way through. So this makes it kind of tough. But we do at least have a little bit of stuff here that we can relate to listeners. I think maybe I'll relate a little of what Drakey posted for anyone who hasn't seen that thread or missed it over on Card Game DB. Of course, we've got the totals. They did have 207 attendees, and there's a pretty nice breakdown of all the houses there. Greyjoy and Baratheon with the lightest appearances at 29. Lannister at 38, Martell at 30, actually had the very lightest appearance at 3. I'm actually kind of surprised anybody bothered to play neutral. Then Stark with 34 and Targaryen 44.
Mm.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, hadn't that, I know a neutral TLV deck did really well out of the Chinese Nationals, and I just don't remember timeline if that news had broke prior to Stalik or post-Stalik. But if it's prior, I could definitely see a couple people at least taking a stab at it. Why not?
Yeah, you know, it may have been. I remember hearing about that before, but don't remember the exact timeline either. And we may see some more neutral TLV or other agenda stuff popping up soon, because I think we've seen a little bit of hints that we're going to have some neutral support in this next set, which seems pretty cool.
We've even seen some powerful neutral characters come in this last chapter pack.
Indeed.
I mean, we kind of almost see it as a springboard into trying to make Neutral House a legitimate contender and something that, you know, poses as a seventh option for houses.
Yeah, I think as far as the Neutral House card goes, you want to have some balance there. You have to remember with this game, the books really sell the game. The books talk about the houses battling over it and kind of these neutral factions mixed in with it. I mean, we want to be careful about where the neutral house goes, you know. So I don't know if we'll ever see a quote-unquote tier one neutral deck, and I kind of hope we don't. I mean, I love the neutral house card, don't get me wrong, but you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Kind of want it left in that Shaga realm.
I do. I absolutely do. I mean, the Timmy in me wants to see that. You know, I like to have that deck that is just very interesting, super fun, without the, I don't know, I don't know how to say it, the expectation of Tier 1 to be there. You know what I mean? Neutral House is kind of that. Right now, it's just like, oh, you're playing neutral? How interesting. What are you going to play? You know, it's not just like, oh, well, I know exactly what you're doing. You're using that tier one neutral deck that's out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever. I don't know shit about tier one decks to begin with, right? But I'm just saying that I don't really care to have it be tier one, but I would like to see more interesting things for it. So I've always been a strong supporter of it. I mean, I played it in like two official tournament melees. It was a blast.
Well, you know, speaking of that neutral house and the houses in general, Scantel broke down the percentages to make the cut for us, and do you guys see how many of those made the cut? Zero. Not so great. Yeah. But as far as stacking that ranking goes on your odds to make the cut, at Stalic you had the best odds out of Targ. 27% of the Targ decks made it, followed by Lanny at 16, Barra and Greyjoy both at 13%, Martell at 10, and Stark at 9, which is, strikes me as pretty interesting. Targ was the most populous house and had the best chance to make it. But then after that, the two houses with the least representation turned out to make it the most proportionately. So, I don't know. Very interesting. And, I mean, and of course, Barrow went on to win the whole thing. So, take that for what you will, I suppose. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe there's not too much else to say about that particular thing.
Well, it's so hard now, it seems so after the fact, to try and analyze. I know not a lot of cards have come out, but just been what's spoiled and what I think is a heavy impact last chapter pack of this cycle, it seems like that alone, just the stuff rolling around in my head, has flipped this meta and changed the landscape so much. And I think it's, I don't want to say it's like ancient history, I mean, there's a lot to be gleaned from it, but it seems so long ago from like a gameplay standpoint.
It really does seem like forever ago. And that's why I was really hoping that we could at least kind of analyze the trends through those last three tournaments instead of just kind of this static snapshot of the meta.
So,
But I just didn't have the info from FFG to do that the way I wanted to.
Yeah. Well, I think the flip-flop of the meta, if you will, it really, honestly to me, with where the game is right now, for me, it feels very similar of a few years back, and I'm talking my first Gen Con, where Baratheon had some pretty good rush. Martell control was the tits, which it still is really good, but Lannister Neil was, again, one of the top. It won that year, and every house, Targaryen was good, Greyjoy was good. This latest cycle of where the game is at right now has really brought that back. It's not really a question anymore as to, is this house even worth running? Now, every house is worth running. Every house has some very good options. So, I mean, yeah, it's flip-flopped, but it's really, it's just gained balance again, is the way that I feel.
In a lot of the ways, I think so as well. Certainly house-wise, I think maybe some agendas are a little more represented than they should be, and others a little less, but, you know, some of that's a little natural ebb and flow, some of that I think is kind of self-fulfilling prophecy sort of thing. You know, why more people aren't playing knights right now, I still can't quite put my finger on, unless it's just a general fear that everybody might do it.
I think you're just worried that people are going to splash in some knights, some of the new Kingsguard stuff, and that you'll just get screwed one or two turns too many.
Yeah.
Well,
that's possible. You know,
well, I mean, even I'm back then, though, legit, knights wasn't played that much. I'm telling you, we just took a blast to the past in a weird way. Like an alternate dimension of like 4 years ago. Like, knights was around then.
Yeah.
Am I wrong, right? It was there.
I'm not drunk enough in this conversation.
I am. I am. I'm there for the both of us.
Well, you know, for what it's worth, Knights of the Realm had one of the highest percentages to make the cut out of agendas at Stalic.
Dude, Knights of the Realm is
It had exactly a 1 in 3 chance of making it. 33.3%.
Yeah, if you have the balls to do it, I mean, the drawback is, I think, is more real now than it's been in a long time, if ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I mean, it draws good. I think I heard that here first. But
yeah.
Knights, I mean, you look at what made the Long Voyage so good. Knights is the same thing, just with, you know, and obviously I was wrong when I first saw the Long Voyage, but Knights is the same thing with a real drawback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So again, that draw every single turn. That's the same thing that made, that makes, I guess I should say, Kings of Summer so good. You know, that draw is just so, it's so good. It's so good. And I can't call it unconditional. Obviously, you have a condition there, but it's just so good. And like Lannister, you know, you have a Lanny Knights deck right now. Lannister has some awesome knights. Stark has some great knights.
Another thought on agendas. I mean, because the agendas that had the highest percentages here in making the cut were Power Behind the Throne, Brotherhood, and Knights of the Realm at 50, 40, and 33% each. But they also had a really small sample size. I mean, one out of the two Power Behind the Thrones decks made it. Two out of the five Brotherhood, that sort of thing. Whereas we get to the next highest one, which is Knights of Hollow Hill at 23.1%, which is 9 out of 39, and then Maester's Path and No Agenda were both tied at 16.7%, though Maester's Path is 2 out of 12, and No Agenda was 10 out of 60. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, Knights of the Hollow Hill definitely had the biggest percent there out of the ones that don't just kind of appear to be flukes. But like, at what point do you guys feel like it would be a concern? I know we had the big Knights of the Hollow Hill debate previously, and you guys don't really feel like it's an issue right now. But just to put it in a more numerical sense, you know, where do you think the problem point would be if it had a, you know, sizable turnout, you know, if there'd been, say, still the 39 decks, but 25%, you know, a full 1 in 4 of the Knights of Hollow Hill decks were going to make it. Like, is that the point where you start thinking it's a problem, or, you know, when it gets further out of hand? I'm just curious.
I guess if the trend continues, if it continue now that the meta's, like, you can't ignore it, it's going to be popular, it's going to do well, you're going to see it off different houses. And that's part of it. You have to remember it's a universal agenda that I think most, if not all, houses can take advantage of now. So now that we're aware of it, I think the meta will keep it in mind when building a deck and try to have some kind of answer or tech against it or the tricks that it pulls in your deck. And if the meta can't react and still can't stop it and the trend continues, I think then, for me, you know, it's time to start doing something. When the meta can't correct it and bring it back down to earth. But yeah, if we're having the same discussion after next year's Worlds and Stalic and Gen Con, then I think it is most certainly time for FFG to step in.
Okay.
But I think...
Well, I was just thinking more like in a numerical sense. Like, right. For you personally, where's the point where you get concerned?
If this happens again next year.
Okay, if next year Knights of Hollow Hill is still hitting, you know, 20 plus percentage
off of such a large, it being so popular and seeing the success.
Gotcha.
Right. Well, whenever Maesters got dismantled, I would say the numbers were pretty similar, I think, to Knights of the Hollow Hill. Now, I could just be pulling this out of my ass, but I thought it was something like a fourth of the field or a third of the field at that time at Worlds was playing Maesters.
Worlds 2012.
That's what I want to say. The year the Brett
Joust
won.
No, he didn't win in 2012, did he? I thought that was 2011.
It was. No, it was 2012, wasn't it?
It was? Okay. I don't know. I don't.
Somebody pull up Cold Hands.
I don't pay enough attention.
That'll tell us.
yeah, the Maester's Path agendas at, yeah, it must not have been 2012. I'm pretty sure it was 2011. Because Kings of Winter was the most popular agenda at Worlds 2012.
Oh, that's right.
That have stats available still in front of me.
Maybe it was 2010. Okay. Oh, okay. Maybe it was 2011.
Yeah, it was Kings of Winter, then Knights of Hollow Hill, Character,
right.
Or No Agenda, then Power Behind the Throne, which is
so
the highest.
Maester's Path and all that?
And then Maester's Path behind Power Behind the Throne. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. fifth most popular.
Fifth most popular.
Yeah, 10% right. of the field was
apparently not
Path.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, easily available to me, looking back at things right now, I had those world stats from 2012. I've got the regional stats that we had. And just looking here, say, on turnout and stuff, and same thing from Stalik this year, like, Knights of Hollow Hill is never the most popular agenda. It's like... Right. Second or third, or like overall over the course of the regional season, it was 1, 2, 3. It was fourth behind No Agenda, which obviously is going to collect all the character agendas right. as well. Long Voyage and House of Dreams. Like, I kind of wonder if it's just a matter of, I don't know, just because it's always up near the top. It seems like the top agenda keeps changing in and out from season to season, but Knights of the Hollow Hill just keeps kind of hanging out in that, you know, always right. the bridesmaid, never the bride kind of space. And maybe it's just after enough years of that, people start saying, you know what, I'm tired of seeing that there.
Well, it's also in different decks. I mean, it's not like we're seeing the same thing out of Hollow Hill. I mean, last season, if you saw Hollow Hill, you expected it out of Targ. And this year, you saw it out of Barra and Martell. And so, it's not like the same kind of deck or archetype has been lingering. It has changed. Just, we don't have a way of identifying it simply by looking at agenda.
It has changed by which houses are using it and the tools that they're using. But it's still, at the heart of it, is a control deck. Now, I think that what is going to really impact what happens to this agenda is really what happens with the other agendas. How much do the other agendas see play? I think that if Knights of the Hollow Hill takes away from the play of the other agendas, then I could see FFG restricting it.
Now,
just so that people will play them.
We have had at least one agenda spoiled for this upcoming cycle.
Yep, Conquest.
So, I mean, and the cycle is called Conquest and Defiance. So we don't know what new cards we're getting. Well, you said the Hollow Hill has been lingering, so if this is something that FFG has seen coming, we may get answers that can skew the field away from being favorable to run that agenda. Or, like we talked about in our discussion, giving you alternatives for control decks and not have to go this route with their agenda. Mm-hmm. You know, more options will thin out the herd just naturally.
Yeah. I don't know. We've dissolved, I think, pretty far afield. So I think for further analysis, I would really just kind of direct people to the Card Game DB thread. The Stalik 2013 Joust /Melee stats /full overall stats /cut stats, which is the longest, most detailed title I may have seen in quite a while. I'm really actually quite surprised that the gentleman who posted it is not German, because that reads like a German compound word, which generally is actually a full sentence smushed into one word. So there you have it. Go check it out. It's on the third page at the moment. Things tend to move fairly quickly in the forums there. But there's tons of number crunching and interesting things to go glean from that if you feel so inclined. All right. Up next, I think I want to hit on a little listener mail. We do occasionally get some emails. In fact, over the past couple of weeks, we've gotten more email than we had in, geez, like 6 months.
Yay!
So, yeah.
Props yeah, to keep emailing us. That's right. Keep emailing us. Mm-hmm. We want to hear it. And your feedback is important, so we don't just want you to send us an email just to be like, hey, I really like your show. Give us something that we can take with us that we can help improve our show. I mean, it's cool if you want to tell us that you like us. Like, that's awesome. We really like that. But I'm just saying, email us for whatever reason. If you get pissed drunk and you're sitting at your computer, go ahead and email us. That's fine.
Email Daryl in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just make the subject
that
for Daryl. No dick pics, please.
How many For Daryl emails do you think we get this week?
I hope at least one. And I hope they actually ignore the request for no dick pics.
No. See, come on, my inbox is already full of those guys.
Wow. That's why you need virus protection.
Just a plethora of dongs.
Boy, it is.
My dong folio.
So how about this message from James Duffy, who says, "Hi, guys. I was going to post this on G+, but I get the feeling you'd never see it."
So true.
Props to the G+ user. "I was reorganizing my card binders and had a reread of the long plan. I'm now wondering if it is badly written, as it doesn't actually say, quote, after you have lost 3 challenges in the same phase, end quote. It says instead, quote, after you have lost your 3rd challenge in the same phase, end quote. With the way it's written, doesn't that imply you need only lose the 3rd challenge in the phase to trigger it? I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on this, as it changes the card potential significantly. Well, until FFG errata is it to cover losing 3 challenges. Now, I brought this up earlier, and I think Daryl had a question on it. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That 3 and 3rd sounds like the same shit to me.
Yeah, it's a quirk of our lovely English language here. The first way that he has it written there, which is after you've lost 3 challenges, right, is the way that I think most all of us had read it and assumed that it worked. That's certainly the way I had read it when not paying close enough attention. But with that wording, it would be like, say we're sitting at a melee table, and I'm like, "Hey, Daryl, I'm going to military you, and you defend and win." And I'm like, "Well, crap. Okay, Kyle, I'm going to intrigue you. He defends and wins." And I'm like, "Crap." And then I'm like, "All right, I'm going
to
power the invisible listener 4th player at our table." And they're like, "I'm going to defend," and they win that. And I'm like, "Well, crap." And then I bring out the long plan and claim 3 power, right?
Okay.
The other wording, which is after you've lost your 3rd challenge, would be like, "Hey, Daryl, I'm going to military you," and you say crap and lose. And then I'm like, "Kyle, I'm going to intrigue you," and he says crap and loses. And then I'm like, "Hey, invisible 3rd listener player, I'm going to power challenge you," and then they defend and win, and I go, "Crap, I lost my 3rd challenge."
I see, yeah.
Yeah.
Now the light bulb's finally on. It's very dim, but it is on.
Yeah, and I'll admit, like, I pulled it out to reread it after seeing that email, and that is the way it is worded. And strictly speaking, the way, you know, English language works, that is probably how it should work. Unfortunately, FFG English is not English.
Speaking of English, do people really say crap that much at your melee games, Will?
Yeah, they do.
Well, no, I was self-censoring for some
crap.
Reason. Yeah, I don't know why.
Because we're a family show now.
Yeah.
That's why.
Well, see, Kyle broke the record for F-bombs last episode. I would break the record for crap bombs.
Good Lord, do you kiss your mother with that mouth?
No, I don't.
I mean, I am one vulgar SOB, man. But you, sir, disgust me. You should be ashamed.
When I get excited about Thrones, sometimes the fraternity upbringing in me just comes out.
Like, good Lord.
And I do apologize. I went back and listened to it, and I was like, oh, no, I did not put that on the air.
Oh, my God.
And for anyone listening and they're skeptical of that, no, I can vouch for it. Kyle actually had sent me a text, and he's like, "Holy cow, I said that a lot."
Yeah. You know, and a little bit ago, I had to make a conscious decision to drop less F-bombs. And you, sir, you might need some of that. Okay.
Well,
listen to this at work.
Yeah, Danny explained to me that there's swearing and then there's F bombs, and they're on different tiers of offensive nature.
Good Lord.
And I was unaware of this. I also, like, as Daryl and Will both attest, swear a lot, very casually in my conversation. So it's very difficult. Like I said, I get excited, I just kind of go. And this has been a lot of talk about my swearing habits, so let's move on to whatever is next on our agenda.
I don't know if we can move on after what you did to us.
Oh, shut it, Daryl. You weren't even there.
Well, I will just say then that, yes, it reads that way, James, but I am 90% sure that FFG meant it to actually work the way everyone has assumed it works, where you lose 3 consecutive challenges. Well, sorry, I guess they don't have to be consecutive, but where you lose 3 total challenges rather than losing the 3rd challenge that you have initiated.
Yeah, that'll definitely have to get cleared up, I suppose.
Yeah, hopefully we can get that cleared up in the old FAQ or something.
Yeah. I bet now everyone's like, oh, now everyone's like looking at it again. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm not the only one.
Which, you know, it's debatable there whether that would actually make it better or worse. There's less losing involved, but a very specific losing. So you, I don't know, you very much have to make sure you lose that one challenge, which might bizarrely be trickier.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anywho.
Yeah. Last Thrones thing I wanted to wrap with. I want to prop the Moon Boy Classic, and not props and slops prop, but, advertise prop. We've set our date finally. It took us a little while to nail it down with some different things going on, and then I found out just a little while ago we wound up still conflicting with the Star Wars Store Championship down in Tulsa, but we needed to set a date and just get on with it. So Moon Boy Classic, 3rd annual at this point, is going to be March 1st at Metagames Unlimited in Springfield, Missouri. It's kind of been a tradition that the Missouri Meta holds a late winter, early spring tournament of some kind, pre-regional to kind of help kickstart the tournament season. And it started as the Midwestern Melee for, oh, I don't know, 3-4 years, and mutated into the Moon Boy Classic. So we're going to keep that tradition going strong for several years here now. And I would like to think, honestly, the store championships were inspired in part by the Moon Boy Classic. Because they just work out too nicely to be in the time frame that we had been shooting for.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hubris, Will. It's a lot of hubris.
Oh, it is. It is. Where would be the fun if there wasn't?
I guess there's something to be said for that. If you cannot make that weekend, the following weekend is the store tournament in my home meta. Just a few short 6 hours north. I'm sure Will be there because he is an ambassador of the game.
I am an ambassador of the game. Not sure I can get the 2 consecutive weekends off of work, though. But we'll see. We'll see.
But anywho, yes, in Iowa City, our store tournament is the following weekend. So I know so many of you love to travel on back-to-back weekends, and that sounds like a great time to spend your March. But if you are bored and would like to attend, I was like, we would love to have you. Just use an email, and I'll get you in touch with the right sort of people.
Yeah, sure enough. Lots of goodness to be had with store championships, though I gotta say we're working on some spiffy little extras just for the Moon Boy Classic. I think I'm gonna try and get some physical copies of my Tides of War fan variant of the game, have those for folks, and see if I might be able to get some more figured out. So we'll have more info on prizes and such.
Can this be the year that Auto Dick Picks Daryl can be added prize pool?
Because
he's been teasing those for years, and I've yet to see them actually make it.
That's the problem. Daryl is just a tease, a huge tease.
No. I thought the prize was ass pennies.
Oh, you know, you're right. I think you did promise those before. You really did.
I did. Maybe this is the year of the ass penny.
There's no time.
You don't know what ass pennies are. You should Google them.
Yeah, let's pause for a moment while everyone Googles ass
pennies. That's right. You throw my ass pennies into fountains and make little wishes on them.
All right, on that dark and disturbing note.
That disturbing note. Wow, you know, there's definitely some results. I think we should go ahead and move on to props and slops before Daryl gets a little too involved with Ariane.
He props his own slop.
I'd like to prop Ariane Martel for being a stone cold fox.
Dude, you know who else is a stone cold fox?
Who?
Lana Kane.
Lana!
On Archer. And
I do love Lana.
You know what? I want to prop the hell out of Archer Vice, which is the actual name of Archer this season. Spoilers abound here too, guys. But for anybody that doesn't know, Isis winds up on the run because it turns out everything they've been doing is illegal and they are not government sanctioned. And so they turn to selling drugs to make ends meet, and it is hilarious.
This has been a great season so far.
Yeah, oh my goodness, it's been good. I love this kind of seems to be Pam's season. They seem to focus a little more on one side character each season, it seems, and it seems to be her right now, and she's awesome. The Cokie Monster.
To keep with the TV show props, I'd like to prop up Community. This week we saw Daryl leave the show.
Dude, I haven't watched Community in like 4 years or something, and I just randomly flipped on the TV and caught that whole episode. It was good.
And no, it is. Now that there have been some changes this season, and I greatly appreciate them, and I've loved it. Last season was a little take it or leave it, but this one's been really good. And I'm very sad to see Daryl leave the show. On his rap career.
I had better things to do, guys.
It was heartbreaking, though that was one epic game of Hot Lava.
The best. Put my childhood to shame.
It really did.
So yeah, that's definitely a prop. I believe, Will, you have another TV prop that I'll graciously let you have.
Oh boy, do I. Yeah. That is definitely season 3 of Sherlock, the BBC series. It was phenomenal. I just watched the third episode this week, a week earlier than all the rest of you American pansies, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm about to watch the third episode. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Oh, you've not watched the third episode?
Not yet.
Daryl, I wanted to be able to talk about it and give more
spoilers.
Best
of the nine. Best of the nine.
It was good. It was good.
Best of the nine, be careful now.
No, it is.
It is? Okay.
I had one reviewer describe it as amazeballs.
It was definitely amazeballs. I'm not dead certain it was the very best of the nine, but it is for sure in the running. Wow, it was good.
Well, when this show first came out, when Sherlock first came out, I remember Brett Zeiler telling me, he's like, dude, you have to watch this. And I said, I don't know. I'm not huge into Sherlock Holmes, blah, 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 blah. He says, Daryl, the first episode is better than all the TV I've watched in my entire life. And this was back, I don't know, like 2011 or something like that. It was
a
while back.
Yeah,
2010. And like, you know, this is a guy who's watched, he's watched Firefly, he's watched Battlestar Galactica, he's watched, all the good shit, you can think of. And I was like, you know what, fine, I'll watch it. That first episode was incredible. So, I mean, Sherlock is a fantastic show. Benedict Cumberbatch has a incredibly bright career.
Batch, Jesus Christ.
So
it's fine, just move on.
Cumberbatch? No. Cumberbatch? Yeah. That sounds fucking stupid.
That's what it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, oh
Cumberbatch. You don't know any... Are you British?
Hey, let's be fair. The British don't know how to pronounce their own words.
True.
Cumberbatch. Yeah. That's stupid.
Either way, the first two seasons are on Netflix. The other three can be found throughout the internet. Go check it out.
And they are worth it. I guess maybe we'll get to discuss it more next week once Daryl has seen it, so I don't spoil it for him.
And then all of our viewers have seen it.
No, yeah.
Yeah, it'll
many
hit
of them
America
are.
By then, I think.
Yeah.
Even. Because they're already through episode two, I think.
Yes. In the States. Episode two aired in the States last week, which, you know, maybe we'll just save the majority of the Sherlock discussion for then, but episode two was fantastic as well. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, which is not what I expected, but it was still perfect.
Yeah. For a show like this, to have this much ground that only does three episodes a year, every 2 years, whatever, it's ridiculous.
Like, super good.
It's crazy. And, like, I get it. They're an hour and a half long or whatever, but still.
I mean, that's still not a lot of TV.
That is still not a lot of TV. I mean, every episode of Supernatural is an hour long.
Well, that's with commercials.
45 minutes, whatever.
More like 40.
Point is.
Whatever. God. Still.
It's,
you know,
like six episodes of that.
And there's, I love Supernatural.
And,
but anyway.
The season of Supernatural is like, 22 episodes or something?
Exactly. You know, they can accomplish so much with, I mean, it's just really good. It's really good. And it's crazy how you can get all of that character development, all of that action, all of that suspense. You can invest in these characters and see them grow and everything. And there's only been 9 episodes.
Yeah.
I mean,
I gotta hand it to Stephen Moffat. The guy runs a good show.
It is
he
brilliant.
Really does.
Brilliant,
Daryl. I just have two words for you. Did you miss me?
Did you just give me a third episode spoiler?
Oh yes,
you
I
piece
did.
Of shit.
Yeah.
Oh yes,
you
I
are.
Huge,
you
huge.
Are a piece of shit.
You won't know. You'll watch that whole thing and go, what the hell was Will talking about?
Exactly.
And
if
then
Moriarty,
end,
if,
and
if you guys are fucking
words,
something with Moriarty to me, I swear to God, I'm going to come to your guys' house.
You're
going to
call us both the moment you're done and be like, screw
that's what it is. Because that's the
will?
First thing that comes to mind.
Screw you, Kyle. You're going to be so mad.
You swear to God. If Moriarty comes back, I swear to God, I'm going to drive to Neosho, Will. I'm going to punch you in the face. You'll probably be sleeping or something. You might even be at work. Like, I don't know.
You've never driven up to Iowa City, so I'm not too.
I would drive through that stinky ass state to punch you in the face.
No, you wouldn't. Can I talk about how both of you need to travel this throne season? Because if I keep giving tournament reports and you guys are sitting at home, it's going to get awkward.
Well, see, I am. I really am hoping to be able to hit regionals a little better this year because I think they're less likely to overlap as badly. Yeah, and hopefully be spaced out a little bit better. Like, I do like the addition of the store championships, but, you know, all the stores within a reasonable distance are all trying to run them, you know, for all the LCGs, and it's difficult to get consecutive weekends off in my work without, you know, just generally kind of being a douche and annoying people by demanding days off when other people get stuck working on the weekends.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yeah. In my case, live by the dollar, die by the dollar.
Just drown someone.
Yeah.
That's what the Greyjoys do.
That's fine.
That would not help. That would actually make it harder to get off on Saturdays.
Never hard to get off on a Saturday. This is my year to travel. For sure. Like, I'm doing a lot of traveling this year, so I would not...
Well, March 9th, you know where you need to be.
No, I probably couldn't come to that.
Hang out with me and Ben? Get our drink on?
You guys got a place I can stay?
Yeah.
All right, then I'm there.
Boom.
All right. I mean, if I can swing it just, like, work-wise, I'm totally willing to come, so...
All right. Well, that episode, I'll be sure to call you guys out on the great time we had. Hopefully you can share in those stories and memories forever.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be like a Kendrick Lamar.
Well, heck, if we can make it up there, we'll probably just record an episode all together at once. Wouldn't that be easier?
Wow, that'd be cool.
You have Ben on.
You know, and if you come down for the Moon Boy, we can do that too.
I'll be down.
Right on.
Have I beaten Ben in a tournament finally?
Never.
I think I've... Does I play him?
Never.
Not at Worlds, because at Worlds you were being a crybaby about how you lost to all your friends.
Oh, I didn't play him at Worlds. I feel like I did. This is not for the show. I should talk about something else. Anyways.
there are problems,
props.
Slops. People have turned us off.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, they absolutely have. Like,
well, except for Aaron Glazer, who is you know, chiding me last week for not having propped Archer yet. So I had to repair that. I was like, good grief, I can't believe I haven't.
We should start having, like, a giveaway or something for props and slops, like some kind of hidden giveaway.
Yeah,
like,
if you
give some password away
into this.
Yeah, like, at the end, we always have, like, a password at some point during props and slops. People email us to get put into, like, a raffle for something.
This is getting deep. I like it.
You know what? I have a prop and a slop at the same time. I don't know which one it should be, but it's the last 150 pages to Mistborn. The slop is probably to me, but for some reason I just cannot make myself read the rest of this book. I'm trying. This is like the wall here. Like, I have to push past this to continue my reading endeavor, you know.
Do what I do and get snacks. And every, like, 5 pages you get a snack.
Just treat yourself?
Yeah, or like buy a bag of Skittles, and every page eat a Skittle.
Oh, man, that's not... I might try that. But for some reason, I can't finish this. You know, I'm not... At least so far, and it's, like, right in, like, the climax of the book, I would assume. You know, it's getting real, and I just can't find it in myself. So I'm sure I won't have any problem not jumping to the second book anytime soon.
Yeah, you'll be fine not doing that.
Yeah, so... It will be on to, I think, the second Dresden book or Snow Crash. I haven't decided which one yet, but it's going to be one of those. It's going to be my next book. So,
well, good for you for sticking with it.
Oh, man, it's hard. It's not
January.
Easy to spend, like, your day off reading for, like, 5 hours.
What?
I am a slow reader.
What do you mean that's not easy? That sounds glorious.
Yeah, I like that.
The last time I was able to do that, I was also reading the Mistborn series, though I think that was book 2 or 3 at the time. And it, I mean, despite the fact that, you know, the books kind of got progressively worse, it was still fantastic to be able to do that.
Like, it's not terrible, but, you know, like, there's so many things I want to do. I'm trying to play more Netrunner this year. I'm trying to, obviously, work on some side projects that I've been working on for a while. I'm trying to do a bunch of stuff, okay? It's hard to not do that stuff and just read.
Let's prop changing props and slops to therapy time with Daryl.
I know, right?
I think that sounds like a good idea. He needs it a lot.
This podcast is a metaphorical couch you can lay on and talk about how your childhood is manifesting in your poor deck building.
Did Daryl? Did Jamie touch you in your naughty place?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but don't get me wrong, I like reading. Like, dude, reading American Gods was fantastic, and maybe that's just
of course it was. It was Neil Gaiman.
Mistborn, yeah, like maybe it's just the Mistborn isn't as good of a book. Maybe I'm just going from a really great book to just a good book, and maybe that's my problem. Maybe it's because I've already had parts of the plot spoiled for me. I don't know. But, I don't know. Anyways, we should probably just wrap this shit up.
Yeah, I think we should. Saying.
That's it. I don't have any other props or slops. Fuck it. Do it live.
I think we did do it live.
Yep.
Right. Oh, yeah, wait. We're propping and slopping again, a twosie, that's what I call them, because that's all I give anymore, are twosies. Our live stream, we realized that our first one was terrible. We understand that. We are going to fix it. The next one will be a lot better. If we do it that Monday, which we plan to, but we'll see. Just stay tuned for that. Have patience with us. We're learning.
Yeah, it is very involved. There's a lot more to this than, especially having the game going and Skyping with Daryl, and there are a lot of components need to come together.
Who would have thought the internet speed would have been a factor? We just thought, like, we could just turn around and do it.
Well,
we actually,
I mean,
have to do some shit.
Yeah, go figure.
Well, I mean, I figure the internet here is pretty good. just, it's so taxing to have Skype open, have Octagon open, have the stream going, be trying to watch, you know, the chat at the same time. It's just a lot of information being uploaded and downloaded simultaneously. And but hopefully this next week will get better. We'll keep improving, and hopefully that'll become, in time, a nice polished product that will supplement the show and be something for you guys to do.
Just a nice polished turd.
Yep.
Polish.
Yeah. All right, well, on that note, thanks, Thronesland, for listening to our hour-and-a-half-long props and slops. It has been greatly appreciated. And I hope you had as much fun as Daryl did.
That's right. I always have a blast. If you want to email us, you can do so at twochampsonechump@gmail.com. You can hit us up on our Facebook at facebook.com/twochampsonechump. Google Plus, like I've said for 100 episodes, still a thing, people.
It actually is. Too true.
It is. That's really, I think, the only way to get a hold of us. I don't think we have another way. Oh, yeah, email us. Oh, wait, I already said that. But for reals, don't be afraid to email us.
Twitch us at twitch.tv/twochampsonechump.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we have a Twitch. Go ahead and follow our Twitch. That'll give you, because we say we want to do it every Monday, but we're still not sure if that's always going to work. But that'll be a way to get an email notification for when we are. And there's an app for your phone now that works and things like that. So,
and Xbox, don't forget, you can watch Twitch TV on Xbox 360 now.
And I'm pretty sure PS4 is going to have support for it if it doesn't already. So you can always hang out with us. And we're going to do a better job at interacting with you or watching and stuff like that. So
yeah.
You can make fun of me live.
Consider it still in beta test, I assume.
That's right. You can see Daryl pull a Daryl live. So, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
That's all, folks.
Danger Zone! The ghost.